Welcome to the PowerPress Podcast. My name is Mackenzie Bennett, and I'm your host on this podcast. We share information to empower your podcast. Today's guest is the host of See You on the Air. Thanks, Ken, for joining us.
Pleasure to be here, Mackenzie. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So you are the vice president of, I believe, university relations or university communication at the University of Colorado. That's correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so you've been involved in a podcast there for about a year now, so we'll dive into that information a little bit later in the podcast, but really excited to learn what you've been doing. So to get us started, I wanted to talk about a podcasting article that I found the other day, and I shared it with you, and it's about Canva. So
yes.
I found this actually from the podcast host, and that is part of Colin Gray's team. He was on our last episode, but they put out this great article, this great blog post about using Canva to get your podcast artwork. So you guys, your show has a great one. It's just, it has like the thought bubble, and then it has the title. So I think that worked out pretty well, but I've seen some pretty awful artwork in the past for some shows. So I hope that people can take this information and use it to their advantage.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of good stuff in the article, and I think the takeaway for me is just the importance of branding what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, people are listening to podcasts, but they're also looking online at show notes, and I think it's just part of the overall package of how you present yourself.
That's true. It's how people are able to recognize your show. Since it's not video, they're not going to recognize your face necessarily, but they will recognize the thing that is associated to how they're listening in an app or online or something like that. They're gonna want to recognize that, and you're going to want it to be able to stand out in a good way.
Yeah, and I think people also look for, I think this adds a level of professionalism to what people are doing out there, and it certainly helps extend their brand.
Exactly. Have you ever used Canva yourself?
Haven't used Canva. I mean, we're fortunate here in that we've got some talented graphics people that they put this together. So I know our audio engineer, John Arnold, created our logo using Adobe. And
mm-hmm.
But it seems like it's a really good tool, particularly for people who may not have access to the kind of things that we have access to.
I completely agree. So it not only goes over, you know, what are some things that will make a quality artwork, but how to use what Canva is providing, how you can get a template from it for very cheap or even for free, how you can do a background, you can add certain types of elements. And it's basically a walkthrough of how you can use this to someone that would have no idea how to do this themselves, who doesn't have Adobe or doesn't have Photoshop or anything like that. You know, this is a good way to hone a skill that you otherwise wouldn't do. And instead of asking someone on Fiverr or some internet service to do it for you and hiring someone, this is a way that you can learn how to do it yourself. And I'm always interested in people learning how to do everything involved with a podcast, because there are a lot of factors involved.
You know, and I think you make a good point, Mackenzie. It walks people through some of the key elements. And, you know, a lot of people think, I know good stuff when I see it, and this can't be that difficult, can it? But, you know, there are very deliberate steps and things that you need to think about. And so I think Canva provides a good overview of what those are, and certainly some good tips about how people can best present themselves. One of the ones I thought was particularly useful was they suggest going simple with the name of your podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I would extend that a little bit to keeping it relatively simple with your brand. I mean, a lot of people go for elaborate illustrations and they just don't translate that well.
I know exactly what you mean. It's the more complicated it looks, sometimes the less memorable it is, because you're trying to focus on so many different things at once that you just forget about what it was trying to focus on in the first place.
Yeah, I think when you think about the iconic brands out there, they're simple.
Mm-hmm.
The Nike swoosh or the Apple logo,
exactly.
Very simple. And, you know, certainly those have the luxury of being big worldwide brands, but they also started out simple.
They did. And, you know, part of the reason why they are able to go across all different types of international is because everyone's going to understand an apple. Everyone's going to understand a swoosh, something like that. It's not that you kind of have to be in the know. It's not one of those situations. So just things for people to consider. I will post this article in the show notes, but I think it's a great, even if you don't use this for your artwork, you could use this for so many different things. Just getting to learn Canva is probably just a quality choice as someone that does a podcast. So I hope
I'm going to look at those show notes, Mackenzie, because I want to see what your brand is.
I know. Yes, I gave a little bit of input on the brand, but then our graphic designer, because like you, we are lucky enough to have a graphic designer on our team. It was in his hands. So he gave me what we have, but I like it. So that was Canva. And next up, I want to talk about your show. So See You on the Air is from the University of Colorado. And it, for the most part, is just focusing on things involving the university. But can you tell me a little bit more about why you wanted to start the show?
One of the things we do, we're just a little background, we're a four-campus university system. So we've got University of Colorado Boulder, Denver, Colorado Springs, and the Anschutz Medical Campus in Aurora. So we're about 65,000 students. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have our Boulder campus is an AAU Research One campus. The medical campus has just got a tremendous amount of research and innovation going on. And our campuses in Colorado Springs and Denver, same type of thing. So what we wanted to do was feature some of the people around our system who are really stars in their field, faculty members who are doing interesting things, studying interesting things, being part of community or statewide conversations or big national conversations. Our first one we did with a researcher who is on the leading edge of Alzheimer's disease research.
Mm-hmm.
And very interesting gentleman. And obviously Alzheimer's is an issue that affects people worldwide, and it's got a tremendous cost attached to it coming down the pike, particularly with the baby boomer generation. Mm-hmm. So this gentleman is doing a lot of innovative things. You know, we also want to have some fun with it. We had a gentleman, Doug Duncan, who's a faculty member on our Boulder campus. He's an astronomer, and around the time of the eclipse last summer, he did a podcast with us because he's been to several total eclipses and does tours to the Northern Lights. So he was just an interesting and engaging and fun guy. And we had another fun one. We have a researcher on our Boulder campus who looks at how humor works in the workplace. He's a business professor, and he's also, I guess I'd call an amateur comedian. And, you know, very interesting to take something we all hopefully engage in every day, humor, and translate it to the academic world and the business world. So we've just got a ton of interesting, smart people around our system. And so our goal was to showcase some of those, and in doing so, to extend our brand and to really convey the kind of value and contributions that our faculty members are making.
So really trying to give a great overview of something that people wouldn't necessarily see right off the bat in terms of the university, I don't know, cluster that you have there, all four campuses combined. So I think that's a great way to get that outreach.
Yeah, I think it is. And, you know, people see things about the university, but we're such a big, complex, far-flung place, you know, with with campuses in four cities and outreach programs in about 300 places around the state. So it can sometimes be hard for people to get their arms around what is university and what's it doing. I mean, obviously, you know, our core mission is educating students, but the people who do that educating and the people who do the research that advances knowledge and, you know, frankly, improves lives, for us to be able to share a half hour or so slice of who they are and what they do really helps us convey to people what our university is about.
That's fantastic. So what type of, do you have a type of format that you do every time where you interview people, or is it a little more you know, kind of the seam of your pants of what you can do with the type of person that you're interviewing or the type of content you want to get out that episode?
It certainly depends on who the subject is, but we follow a pretty standard format, which is an interview format. And our executive producer, Kathy Buten, does a great job of, you know, doing a lot of the background work and interfacing with the faculty members before we talk to them. And then we just sit down and talk to them. And, you know, I think really the challenge is not much of a challenge. These, again, are smart, interesting people who are passionate about a subject and experts in a subject. So they've got a lot to say.
Right.
And so the interview process is really trying to ask them some, you know, probing, hopefully insightful questions that will allow them to get into the subject that is certainly close to their heart and in many cases is someone's life's work. So one of the big challenges really is we could probably ask them one question, you know, tell us about your work and why it matters. And I could bow out at that point.
Right.
But obviously, we want to kind of keep the conversation going. And the other thing with faculty is it can be a challenge sometimes for them to relate their work in terms that everyday folks can understand. You know, some of it, for instance, some of the work on Alzheimer's, it's kind of complex stuff. So our goal and my goal as an interviewer is to, you know, make that relevant to the audience that's out there.
Right. To not necessarily dumb it down, but to make it understandable and enjoyable. Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, fortunately, our folks are pretty good about it. And, you know, we talk to them about who the audience is going in. So we don't get too many that are so technical that it's, you know, our show notes have to explain scientific theories or things like that. But it also points out the importance of show notes and adding a little context.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So what made you want to start a podcast? Of all the ways to bring the campuses together and make sure that people are, you know, getting information like this, why did you choose a podcast as opposed to a different type of medium?
It's kind of funny how it happened, actually, and I'll stretch back a little bit. So originally I was a newspaper reporter, and I went to work for another university, University of Northern Colorado, that had a public radio, an NPR affiliate on campus. Mm-hmm. And I was fortunate to be able to do first some news pieces for them and then commentary. So I had a little bit of a background in it. But our university is governed by an elected board of regents. And one of the regents has a background in broadcast media. His name's Steve Ludwig. And he was actually the one who suggested, you know, you should do a podcast, because he was doing one for a company he worked for. Mm-hmm. And so he had some experience in it, and he knew of the interest that I had. And he certainly knew of the broad base of stories we have to tell here. So he suggested that, and you know, we took him up on it. And frankly, one of the reasons we wanted to do it is that it's fun.
Right.
I mean, it's fun for us to talk to these people, to learn more about what they're doing, to learn about the impact this university has, or just interesting stuff like eclipses or nutrition or aging, all manner of stuff out there. So I really credit Steve Ludwig for getting that ball rolling. And I think the other thing was, we've got the talent here who really makes it happen. And I don't include myself in that, but Kathy Buten and John Arnold, our sound engineer, are really great at what they do, and they make it easy. You know, we've got a lot of material, a lot of churn in our office as far as promoting the university. So adding one other thing could have been daunting, but John and Kathy really do a lot of work on this and make it sound tremendous.
That's really good to hear. And it's nice to hear that you have such a good team behind it, because trying to do a podcast by yourself is, don't get me wrong, and completely doable. It's just when you're trying to add it as part of your job, in that sense, for, you know, for an office that you have, then it can become overwhelming sometimes. When one person would get dealt with the entire thing, when they, you know, when this is a new thing that you guys are doing and trying to get running and whatnot. So
yeah,
I think that was smart.
Yeah, and it has an added benefit for us. Again, I'm in the central office here in the president's office. So one of my jobs is interfacing with people like me on our four campuses. So we get to add value to what they're doing by featuring their faculty. Then they use the podcast and some of their publications. And so it helps all of us to spread the word. And yeah, it's been good.
Good. So one of the other things that I wanted to talk about was I only found one news article for this episode, but I wanted to talk about the topic of getting involved in the podcasting community in your area. So
yeah,
myself and Angelo, we represent Blueberry Podcasting, and then we have another guy, Gary Monty, who's just in Columbus. He's great. He helps us organize the monthly podcast meetup that we put on here, and that is one of the ways that we make sure that we're not only being able to provide information to people in the area that want to do a podcast, or, you know, that have want to be on a podcast or anything surrounding this entire industry here, we're happy to talk to them about it. So I was wondering if there are any ways that yourself or your team has gotten involved in that in the Colorado area that you're in.
Yeah, one of the things we're trying to do right now is to connect with some of the communities that are out there, and I understand there's a Facebook community.
Yes.
One thing we did that was quite interesting was Kathy, our executive producer, is involved with the International Association of Business Communicators. Mm-hmm. So we hosted one of their meetings, it was just a couple of weeks ago, where we had a panel discussion that I moderated on podcasting, and it featured Brian Ibbett, who does a podcast called Coverville.
Mm-hmm.
That's a show about music, about song covers, and Nicole Spagnuolo, who does a podcast called Wood Whisperer, and both of them have been involved in many other podcasting projects, and John Arnold, our sound engineer, was the third panelist. And, you know, what we found was the people who are involved in the International Association of Business Communicators, this is a hot topic for them. We asked folks to raise their hand if their boss had asked them to, you know, develop a podcast, and everyone raised their hand. So people, I think, are really hungry for the information. And, you know, as you know, Mackenzie, I think that some people have notions about what this is and how I go about it, but most don't. Mm-hmm. So, you know, having this panel discussion, and it's something that we are, you know, doing some final editing on, and we'll have it on our page when we get it all cleaned up. But having that information out there, even, you know, just some basic information about what equipment do you use, how do you market yourself, how do you get out there, people are really hungry for that information, and it was a really good, robust discussion.
It's really really surprising sometimes to realize how many people want to know this information and don't know how to go about getting it at all. And I feel like this entire community is just online so much that you can easily find it that way. But sometimes I don't know where else people would be able to find it if they don't do that first. So
yeah,
getting out there into the actual public, I think, is a little underrated. So whenever people are actually doing stuff like that, I really enjoy hearing about that.
Yeah, it was an interesting discussion. And I tell you, I learned a lot. And, mm-hmm. You know, Brian Ibbett, I mentioned, he's been out there for some time. And one of the things I learned was, I think it's the Podcasters Hall of Fame,
yes,
something like that, of which he's a member. So, you know, no matter the endeavor, if they've got a Hall of Fame and you're in it, you know something, you're on the ball, and certainly he did. So it was a treat to hear from him. And Nicole as well did a lot of, she's done a lot of things in a kind of corporate and higher education setting. So that was good news for the people in the audience.
Definitely.
And John, our sound engineer, is really good about equipment. And, you know, most of the stuff he talks about is well over my head, but I'm thrilled to have someone who knows about that stuff. And he did a good job of, you know, talking to people about what they need for equipment. You know, it can be as simple as your iPhone and as complex as hundreds of dollars worth of audio equipment. So it was well received.
Good. Good. So are you are you excited about any upcoming episodes that you're going to be doing this year?
Yeah, you know, well, one of the things that we like to do with them is, you know, again, we've got a number of tremendously talented and interesting people around, but, you know, one of the things I like to do with it is take a little personal privilege and, hey, what's something I'm really interested in? So we're posting one probably today. We have a faculty member at our Denver campus. His name is Stan Sucher, and he's an expert on entertainment law. He's written a couple of books about entertainment law, one of which, I'm a big Beatles fan, and he wrote a book called Baby, You're a Rich Man, Suing the Beatles for Fun and Profit.
Ah.
So we had a really lively conversation with him about the Beatles in general and some of their legal woes and some of the cautionary tales that came out of them, which expanded into a broader discussion of entertainment law. So, you know, that was a fun one. We did one just recently. Our president, Bruce Benson, he just marked 10 years on the job, which is a long time for a university president. I mean, the average tenure is less than 5 years.
Right.
So we did one with him, you know, looking back over his 10 years and how he views the place. And, you know, certainly it's a bit daunting to interview your boss.
But yes.
It was also fun because he's got a really good track record of success. He's been the longest serving president in our university in 65 years. He also attended the university in the 1960s. So great perspective, interesting, engaging, lots to say. So that was a lot of fun as well.
Overall, sounds very positive. Sounds good.
Yeah.
You guys how often do you put out episodes? About once a month or so?
Well, if we don't do once a month, Kathy yells at me. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yes. Yes, I understand. I know why Kathy yells at you for that, because people like to have their content on a regular basis.
Yeah, I know. She's right. It's important. I think, you know, once you get an audience and you get rolling out there, you know, it's certainly people aren't waiting there saying on the first day of the month, where is See You on the Air? But they are used to a regular rhythm. And I think having that consistent content out there is important.
Yes. So what was something that you found to be an issue or a blunder or something like that came up that you didn't foresee happening when you decided, okay, we're going to do a podcast? Because that's bound to happen, I feel like, with any project.
Well, I'd say one just specific to the production of it. You know, again, Kathy does really good research and prep work that makes it considerably easy for me, but you know, when I first started doing radio as a print reporter, I was comfortable with the writing and the constructing of things. But when it came time for the audio production, it was like, I am not reading this. No, I am not. And, you know, I think good podcasts are natural conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the challenges for me particularly was, you know, turning the great research work she did into natural conversations and not have it appear that I'm reading questions.
I understand that. Actually, when I was talking to one of our attendees at the podcast meetup last week, I was asking him for any topics that he wanted to do for the summer or later this year or something. And he said he seemed a little iffy about it and not sure if it was a legitimate topic, but he said the voice that people use for their podcast. And he said, I don't know if everyone uses their regular talking voice, if they kind of go into a different rhythm or something like that. A common thing that people will do is, and this doesn't have anything to do with podcasting, but it's just an example of something that I'm kind of leaning towards, is when people are in a customer service environment and they're on the other end of the spectrum and they're super nice and they're very accommodating and things like that. And you can obviously tell day to day that is not their typical structure or even just the way that they sound. So
yeah.
I think
they probably really want to tell you to get out of their face.
Exactly.
You know, and we had related to that at the business communicators panel discussion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that Brian Ibbett was talking about was just what you said, you know, people's natural voice. and he was a big proponent for basically just letting, I'll show you how old I am, letting the tape roll and just talking. And he, his point was people say, well, you know, and they stumble over things, but that's how people talk.
Yep.
And so that's how podcasts should go. And I think there's something to be said for that. To me, the important thing is being as natural as you possibly can in that conversation, because to me, the best podcasts of the type we're doing are conversations.
I agree. I saw an article yesterday that honestly I didn't actually finish. I was looking for things for us to talk about on this, and I started reading this one, and it was kind of going against the idea of having a podcast be very conversational and having it kind of just be like someone could be listening to this and it's like they're eavesdropping in on a conversation, except the person, you know, the people having the conversation are willingly and happily sharing that with you. And they were saying how that should not be what podcasts are a little bit. And I don't think all of them should be like that. I see very much why there should be other types and whatnot. But I do think there is somewhat of, you know, there's a reason why that happens. And I enjoy listening to them, just like you said that you do. So.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's the strength in it. And hey, you know, I enjoy NPR as much as the next person. And there are plenty of professionals out there who are doing that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's something to be said for a level of professionalism in a podcast, say, like ours. But there's also, I think, the strength in the medium is that it is accessible just across the spectrum of people from, you know, the dude in front of his laptop, to something like ours that is well produced, to something, you know, like some of the professional podcasts or radio shows you see that are highly produced. You know, thinking somebody like Malcolm Gladwell, highly produced, but, you know, still pretty engaging. I think he strikes a nice balance.
Yeah, there's room for every type of podcaster and podcast available in this industry. So
I like that theory.
I think it's a good thing. So is there anything else you would like to tell us about your show, or, you know, what's been going on with it, or just give people the link so that they can check it out themselves?
Yeah. If you go to cu.edu, you'll find us. I hope people listen. I think we've gotten a good body of them now, I think a dozen plus. So there's a lot of variety out there, and we continue to strive for variety and stuff that is, I mean, I kind of liken it to, in some ways, reading a newspaper, you know, stuff people want to know, stuff people need to know, stuff that's cool for people to know. So that's what we try and do.
That sounds fantastic. Thank you, Ken, for being on the show today. And people, stick around. We've got a PowerPress tip at the end of this episode. So thanks for being on, and we'll be back in 2 weeks.
My pleasure, Mackenzie. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
This is Sean Thorpe from the Blueberry Support Team with this week's PowerPress tip. PowerPress is such a great plugin because it has a lot going on under the hood. This week, we'll do an overview of the PowerPress Tools menu, which can be accessed by clicking the main PowerPress link in the left-hand sidebar of your site's dashboard, and then clicking the Tools link in the menu that appears under that main PowerPress link. The first section in PowerPress Tools is called Podcasting Resources. This is a collection of helpful links you can reference if you need help with PowerPress or your podcast. The Add Update Services section can be used to ping some old RSS aggregation services. This kind of thing isn't really relevant to how podcasting is done nowadays, and you can pretty much just ignore this section. The Find and Replace Media section allows you to update any media file URLs currently being used by PowerPress. To learn more about this feature, download the PowerPress podcast episode from March 8, 2017, where I covered Find and Replace in that episode's tips segment. The User Capability section gives you some options to gain greater control over how certain WordPress user types can access your podcast episodes. For example, you may only want higher-level user roles to be able to publish podcast episodes. The Update Plugins Cache section allows you to clear a special WordPress cache that's used for listing plugins on your site. You'll probably never actually have to clear this cache, but it may be necessary in some cases if your site is having an obscure technical problem. The translation section contains a link to Blueberry's official support document on how you can help translate PowerPress into languages other than English. The iOS 11 Fields section provides some special troubleshooting options for web hosts that were having trouble with the new iTunes tags introduced last year. Most PowerPress users will have no need for these options, and it's a good idea to stay out of this section unless you're instructed otherwise by Blueberry staff. The penultimate section is called PowerPress Beta Features. Here you can enable beta features that may one day become part of PowerPress. Remember, with anything marked beta, it's always a good idea to proceed with caution. And at the bottom of the tools page, we have the diagnostics section. You can use this section to generate a diagnostic report that can be useful when you need help with a PowerPress-generated podcast feed. I'll likely be exploring individual sections of the tools page in greater depth in future segments. And that's it for this week's PowerPress tip. If you have any questions about this or anything else in the Blueberry universe, email me, Sean@blueberry.com. Until next time, thanks for listening.